right in on it. Run that down also, you can do some work.
Brother, anymore, I'm never inside the store.
Okay.
They're wearing me out on delivering meals.
Sometime when you're with Brother Eddie, you come over to my house.
I didn't bring him by there. We need a little bit of bush hog up anyway.
That's right.
All right.
I'll show you where your boss lives.
We're gonna get started in our Sunday school lesson this morning. It's a beautiful day. Lord's given us. We got April coming up. The old saying was April showers bring May flowers.
Amen.
But we've been getting a lot of March showers, and I'm glad for the rain. The Bible said a rebellious people dwell in a dry land, and I thank God for the mercy drops. Amen.
Amen.
Oh my. We finished up Revelations chapter 8 last week, and Revelations chapter 9 will be starting. I want to go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for the beautiful day you've given us to gather in your house. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to have before us the Word of God. Lord, your Word says that it was precious in those days, in the days of Samuel, because there was no open vision. Lord, even today, it's precious, Lord. And I pray, dear Father God, today you would open your words to us, make its truths and its treasures known to us, Lord. Fellowship with us, Lord, here today. By divine appointment, we welcome you, Lord, to come down and sup with us, allow us to sup with you. Bless our efforts, Father God, today. Lord, we messed so many things up, and we're just asking for your help. We're just asking for your blessing and all that we set our hand to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, before we get started in this chapter 9, I want to read the last verse of Revelation chapter 8. John says, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." So there's three more trumpets going to be blown, and each one of them are going to bring a woe upon the earth and to the inhabitants of the earth. And verse 9 starts out with the first woe. My pastor, they're teaching Revelations also. Seem like everybody's teaching Revelations right now. We must be getting ready to make our exodus.
Yes, Lord.
But they're a chapter ahead of us. And that's kind of good, because I'm able, by way of like a ripple effect, to bring some of the great truths my pastor has brought out. And one thing he said about Revelations chapter 9, and I agree with him, he said Revelations chapter 9 is kind of like hell on earth. And you can look at one verse and agree with his statement, and that's verse number 6 of Revelations chapter 9. And it says, "In those days shall men seek death."
Yeah.
Wonder why they want to die. "And shall not find it." They want to die and they can't even die. "And shall desire to die, and death shall flee from him." That'll give you an idea of what Revelation chapter 9, when this angel blows his trumpet, it's the first woe.
That's right.
So verse 1 of Revelation chapter 9, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit." And we know about the bottomless pit. You can go on back here, and it's got significance. There's the devil lays hold on that old serpent, that old dragon, in Revelation chapter 20. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." I'm in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. "And he laid hold on the dragon," that old serpent, "which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit And I like this. And shut him up. Boy, I like to shut the devil up. But this angel here, I'm telling you, buddy, he didn't need no help. He laid hold on this dragon, on this old serpent, which is the devil, and he cast him down into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. We've got a lot of deception going on right now in the world.
We do.
And America must be the most gullible nation in the world.
Absolutely.
I'm wondering what we haven't failed to. I mean, I can't believe that a leader of this free country would present a bill and say, you'll find out what's in it after you sign it. I can't believe that it would be presented in those terms, and yet it was, and it was signed, and it did pass.
Yes, it did.
And we're still continuing the trend. But that the devil should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. I don't like to loose the devil at all, but the devil has purpose. Now, I'm going to read a verse that's going to catch a lot of you, I guess, off guard here. That is, if I can find it. I mean, it just came to my mind right now. Okay. Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 7. God here doing the speaking. He said, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, why would God create evil? Well, that's really simple to answer, be honest with you.
Yes, it is.
John chapter 6.
Yeah.
Jesus said in verse 70, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil.
Yeah.
He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. He had to be betrayed. He had to be delivered into the hands of sinful men because he had to go to Calvary,
right,
give his life a ransom. I was being held hostage. Man, Brother Ed was talking about that a little bit before the Sunday school lesson,
yeah,
about the first and the second resurrection. I was being held hostage.
Yes.
I couldn't meet the demands that was required to set me free. However, one step down, took my place, paid in full my debt, and not only did he set me free, he set me free indeed. And I am free, thanks to my Savior. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
All right. We're talking about the bottomless pit here.
Yeah.
In this second verse, well, we read verse 1 and kind of left right in the middle of the second verse. And the fifth angel sounded, and I'm glad I ain't going to be here when this trumpet does sound.
Mm-mm.
And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. My pastor brought out a pretty good point right here. He said this could be a reference to Satan. You see, in Job, God help me to find this verse.
Blessing God. Give him what he needs.
It said, Job chapter 1, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them.
Yeah.
And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and walking up and down in it. And here the devil is in the presence of God, and yet he has been cast out of heaven.
Yes.
And the reason the Lord could very well be talking about the devil here is in Revelation chapter number 1. Jesus says, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell. Now, he took those keys from someone that had them, and this angel that fell, or the star that fell from heaven, to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and now another one owns it, and that's Jesus. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. My pastor brought this out, and I agree with him, that this very well could be devils, demons that have fell with the devil, because the devil, when he fell, he didn't fall alone.
No, that's right.
His tail, the Bible says, drew one third of the angels of heaven when he fell.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's see here. In Revelation chapter 12, talking about Satan, well, for sake of time, we'll go to verse 3. Okay. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. You always see these pictures of the devil, and he's red with a tail and a pitchfork. And everybody says, nowhere in the Bible does it say the devil's red. Here it is.
That's right.
Behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. When Jesus mentioned in Luke chapter 10, I think it's verse 18, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He's the one threw him out, and may have gave him a swift kick as he was making his way down here to earth. I do know one thing, when the devil landed, buddy, he run plumb out of his shoes before he looked back.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. But the devil drew one third of the angels of heaven. Now that word stars is kind of what I was looking for a while ago about the devil. He was a star, an angel of heaven.
Yeah.
And we could go to great detail. And if you want to go to great detail, read Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28, and you'll get all the detail you want about the devil's fall, about what his purpose, where he's been, and where he's going. Amen.
Amen.
But his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now this is a reference to the birth of Christ. And King Herod tried to kill Jesus at his birth through the work of the devil, and he couldn't kill him, but he killed every child from 2 years old and under, killed every one of them. That shows you how much the devil didn't want Christ to be born.
Yeah.
In verse 5, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations. Somebody said, I don't want Jesus rule over me. That's all right. The devil will be glad to have you. You won't like it, but he'll be glad to rule over you. Somebody's going to rule over you. It's either going to be Jesus or the devil with a rod of iron. And they don't like that discipline. Well, I'll say that. I hate to get political, but I can't help it. I'm missing the president that we had.
Yeah.
I'm regretting the one that somehow got in the Oval Office. I don't understand it today. Not even allowed to talk about it. You look up the word usurp, that means taken by force.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm missing the authority that we had. And the joke that we got right now, they can't even walk up a flight of steps. They can't even finish a sentence that has to be carried. They're not even making no public appearance.
No.
I'm just telling you, don't add up. Well, anyway, the Lord's going to rule with a rod of iron. They're going to get in line. And her child was caught up unto God. He was taken back up to heaven and to his throne. He does have a throne above every throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness. That's about where we're at right now in the wilderness. Yeah, where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,200 and 3 score days. Now, on down here, the reason I'm reading all this is to describe the devil for you. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Did you get that? The devil did not win. He's not going to win here. You devil worshipers, hey, you're on the losing end of this thing. The devil is not going to win. He didn't win in heaven. He didn't win at Calvary. And he ain't going to win in the end if you know anything at all about the Bible.
Yeah. Amen.
They prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. They got thrown out. Now listen, here's a description of the devil. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, I'll just tell you, you can call the devil by a lot of names, and any of them, if it's like the ones I just read right there, they fit real good. But my pastor talked about when the devil opened up this bottomless pit, that he unleashed legions of devils upon the earth. And you know, the Lord, he got those keys back. Praise God, he did. Amen.
Yeah.
I don't like devils. I don't like what the devil does. I don't like to see him ruin someone. I don't like to see him ruin a home. I don't like to see the death he brings, the pain he brings, the bondage he brings. I don't like nothing about the devil. But this here, this world, the devil's kind of turned loose. And there arose a smoke out of the pit as a smoke of a great furnace. You know, that means it's kind of hot. Wonder what kind of pit that was. Me and Brother Ed was talking about hell. And the Bible talks about death and hell gave up those which are in them in Revelation chapter number 20. And there's a lot of heat down in hell. And the smoke of this great furnace come up out of there when he opened up this bottomless pit. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. I want you to know, buddy, I got to have air to breathe. And I know we got people down here trying to save the earth. And they'll go to the expense of, like Bill Gates, wanting to depopulate the earth by 2/3%. I'd like him to lead by example and be the first one. Amen.
That's right.
But anyway, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He's in charge. Don't have to worry about global warming. You don't have to worry about the new Green Deal. Just let God be God. It'll be a whole lot cheaper. And let Him take care of the seasons. Let Him take care of the weather. But there came up, verse 3, it said there came up out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Now, a regular locust, it eats green stuff. These aren't regular locusts. They're described as locusts. My pastor brought out a pretty good point that I believe it's in Proverbs, talked about the locusts don't have a king over them, but these locusts do. You can look at verse 11. They have a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. In other words, the devil is their king.
Yeah.
Lord, I don't know if I can find this verse or not. I'm not going to spend a lot of time looking for it. But in Proverbs, it talks about the locusts being a small people, yet they have no king over them. Let's see if I can find that real quick. And sometimes I just have to quote the verse. This may be one of them. Talked about them being a little people, but they have no king over them. Let me see if it's Yeah, we'll let that go. I don't want to waste any time. I want to teach today. But in Proverbs, it talks about locusts. And it talks about they have no king over them. They go forth in bands, but they have no king over them. These locusts have a king over them. And their king is the angel of the bottomless pits. We know who that is.
Yeah.
But these locusts, they come out of the smoke, and that they come up on the earth, and unto them was given power, as scorpions of the earth have power, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. 144,000 have been sealed of God, and they do make it through this terrible time, and they're kind of like modern day Apostle Paul's. They get a lot of people to the Lord, get a lot of people out of the dilemma they're in, because this is literally hell on earth. People are looking for a way out. There's only one way out. These 144,000 help them to find that one way out. But during this time, these locusts, they've got power, as scorpions on the earth have power, and people are enduring pain. You know, they don't have painkiller in hell.
No.
And I said this was kind of like hell on earth. When I say that, there's no pill going to deliver you from the pain of these locusts. No pill going to be able to somehow dim the wrath of God, the price that's going to be paid, the full cup of God pouring out upon the earth, what the earth deserves. And these people that are here, they're here by reason of denial and choice. They want nothing to do with Jesus.
Right.
They don't want to hear what thus saith the Word of God. They don't want anything to do with God, and they've got so much to do with God, they're in mission impossible. One way or another, you're going to bow the knee.
That's right.
Here or there. And you're going to confess with your tongue that He's Lord here or there. I done it. I'm glad I did. It wasn't no cakewalk.
No.
But I will tell you this. Old Eddie Wade got down on his knees April 27th, 1988. And I told God I was guilty.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
I told Him I was sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I told Him I wanted to be forgiven. And I wanted to be saved. And He said, what took you so long at 34 years old?
He already knows.
Yeah, I'm telling you, buddy.
He was waiting for you to say it.
I was so glad. You know, I had a burden that I could not take no further.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not kidding you. The weight of my sin was crashing down on me.
Yes.
And it sure was good to get the so-called monkey off my back. I ain't had that burden since, and I'm glad I ain't. Amen. But these people that are here during this time, they're going to feel this pain of these locusts like scorpions of the earth have power. When a scorpion bites you, it won't kill you. But it'll kind of make you wish you could die, because it's a really painful bite. And they're going to be inflicting pain upon people on the earth. And you know what? The only ones that ain't going to be bitten and ain't going to feel no pain are them which have the mark of God, the seal of God in their forehead. Verse 5, and unto them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months.
Yeah.
Their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And like I said, verse 6 kind of says all that we need to say about this time. And this strike of this scorpion, this torment from this strike, it says, in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. They brought this on themselves.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm allergic to pain.
Yes.
I went to the dentist. He said, what's your biggest concern? I said, pain. He shot me with Demerol about 6 times. Said, you feel that? I said, what? It was about a week before I could drink water. I know it was 3 days. I didn't know I even had a lip, much less a tooth. I'll tell you, but I like him. He's my favorite dentist. We get around that problem with pain. There's no way to get around this problem. And in those days, boy, they're going to have problems. They're going to have pain.
Yes.
And they're going to wish they could get out of it.
Yes, Lord.
You know, jump the gun here just a little bit. Verse 21. All this going on, we haven't covered it all, With all this coming on, it says, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorcerers, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. They're still not willing to say, I deserve this, I'm guilty. They're still just conceited in the fact, if God loved me, why am I suffering? Really, to be honest with you. You know what answer I got for that? Proverbs chapter 1. It fits real good right here. God here says, He said, because I have called and ye refused.
Yep.
I have stretched out my hand, no man regarded.
That's right.
But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. God says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, when your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. This terrible time, not only is it coming upon the world, but I'm just glad I ain't going to be here. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 7, again talking about these locusts. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. Now this is describing really a devil's what it's describing. And they had hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. You know, every time I've seen a picture of a devil, it's always had real sharp teeth. And I'm just saying, you know, per se. But, you know, they're devils, and they torment, and they have the advantage over people that underestimate a devil. One devil threw seven men out of a house, and they left that house wounded and naked. Don't underestimate a devil. Amen.
Amen.
Their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. In other words, they're protected. You know, we think now, AR-15, oh, we'll take care of that. AK-47, they got armor. Your bullets probably bounce off of these devils. But we think somehow, you know, we can handle anything. They're not going to be able to handle this. There's not going to be anything that's going to stop these devils. And the sound of their wings were, as it were, the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. You're not going to outrun them. You're not going to be able to defeat them. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and their stings were in their tails, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Look, I've been stung by a wasp before, but I only wanted one. I didn't want 5 months of it. You know what I mean? For 5 months, men are going to be enduring this plague of these locusts. They're going to be stung and stung and stung. And they're going to wish they could somehow get out of this, somehow wake up. And it's only a dream, but it's not. It's a nightmare. And God's giving you warning, and you're setting at naught at this warning. I don't want to be here. And I'm not going to be here when this goes on.
Amen.
5 months, people are going to be stung by these locusts. Man, I'm going to be in a better place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be enjoying better things.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
I made a better choice, Carolyn. Mm-hmm. I'm going to a better place.
Amen.
This hell on earth, if you're here, it's your own fault. If you're here, it's because you didn't make a choice. You said, I'm just going to let it fall where it falls. I'd give some serious thought to that, because if you're here during this time, you're going to seek death and it's going to flee from you. You're not going to be able to die. You would give anything to get out of this hell on earth. 5 months, they're going to have power to hurt men. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, and I believe that is the devil, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. That's tough names there. But either way, it's a reference to the devil, amen. And you know what? The description of Apollyon is called destroyer. So you're going to be down here with the destroyer. Jesus said, the thief cometh not before to kill, steal, and destroy. He said, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. And one more reference there. In Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews chapter 2, I think. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15, talking about Jesus, and deliver them who through fear of death were in all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on himself the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. That might not be the one I'm looking for. I'm looking for the one where he destroyed. Here you go, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And you know, our Savior was a mighty conqueror, and he conquered this destroyer. But these people that didn't choose Jesus, hey, this destroyer, he's having a heyday. He's having a ball. He's sporting in his deception. Sonny and Cher wrote a song, I Got You, Babe. That may be kind of like what this is like. You're not going to get out. There's no way of escape. You're going to drink full the cup of the Lord's wrath. You wanted nothing to do with the Lord's mercy. And they had a king over them. I wouldn't want the devil to be my king. Which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. That means destroyer. Verse 12, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Now, what we've read so far is just one woe. There's not going to be any rejoicing, no spring, what do they call that when all them teenagers take off to the beach of spring break? Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. They're not going to be none of that. No, it's going to be hell on earth. And the world's never seen that. We've seen really light affliction. Even when the twin tires fell, that did look to me like hell on earth. That's nothing compared to this. And Donnie mentioned about when those twin tires fell for just a little bit, people turned to God and they started going to churches. They was having traffic jams. People trying to get to church thought it was the end of the world. That was writing on the wall, I believe, to America, because it's continued in that direction. You know, God put a hedge up around Job. And the devil complained about it. And he said, take away that hedge, I'll show you a curse you to your face. And God did take away the hedge and allowed the devil access to Job. Well, I believe God has put a hedge about America. And I believe through murdering babies and some of the other stuff that have been attributed to this great country, America, I believe God has took away the hedge. I believe America's on the way down. I don't think it has very much longer. You know, it's the only place of refuge there is on the planet. There's already bondage everywhere. And America's the only place to flee to. And when America's gone, well, then the devil's going to love it, because there's not going to be any place to run to, any place to flee to, any place to say asylum, any place to say, I've seen on the news this morning, and I say this reluctantly, I kind of laughed a little bit, but it's kind of sad too, that we no longer have sanctuary cities in America. It's a sanctuary country. We're not concerned about the border wall. You know, a country that has no border is no country. Try to go into Mexico. Try it. You see what I mean? But they're coming from Mexico into America by the groves, and like one of the border agents said, a lot of them got camouflage on. They're not children. They're terrorists. And you know, these chickens gonna come home to roost soon enough. You can see the Antichrist getting set up, not only set up in the world, but set up in America. Yeah, that Christian nation, you know, that one that's kind of in hypocrisy, says one thing, does another. It wants you to do this, but they ain't gonna do it. You know, John Kerry wants you to put on a mask, but he ain't gonna put one on. Amen. And anyway, we're being kind of taken over by our own devices that we've allowed. And I will say this: if we had pitchforks and torches up at the Capitol, it might make a difference. But since there is none, just enjoy the ride, because we're on the way down. Amen.
Amen.
Well, this one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. I'm just glad I ain't going to be here, Carolyn. Mm-hmm. I got better things in mind. God made a better place for me. I'm going to be in a better place than what these people are going to be in. Verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar. Now, the golden altar is only mentioned two times. It's mentioned in Revelations, and it's mentioned back when God told Aaron to make a golden altar in Exodus, I think. Let me see here. When God told him to make a golden altar, and he did make it. Other than that, and in Revelations chapter 8 and Revelations chapter 9, now the golden altar, verse 13 and verse 3 of Revelations chapter 8, it's never mentioned no more else in the Bible. And this golden altar, which is before God, saying to the earth, or saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, I know about the great river Euphrates, but these four angels, I don't know about, and you don't know about, nobody else knows about. But they're bound in this river. I watched a movie one time, Clash of the Titans, and in that movie there, and it's just a movie, but I'm just using this for thought here. In that movie, The Clash of the Titans, God sent an angel down there to release this kraken. It was bound down in the ocean, and this prophet stuck his key in this lock and loosed it, opened the door, and here come this big kraken out, and it couldn't nobody do nothing with it. I mean, there was just no way to defeat this kraken. It's destroying everything. Somebody went and cut off the head of Medusa and put it in a bag. It looks like, I said, this is Greek theology. It ain't got a thing to do with this. Only reason I mention it is because there's four angels bound in the river Euphrates, and anyway, this guy come up there with the head of Methuselah, stuck it up there, and he looked at it, turned it into stone, and took care of that kraken. That's not going to work here. That's in Hollywood, a movie.
That's right.
These four angels bound up in the river Euphrates, they're there for a reason. They can't do a thing till God sets them free, and when they get set free, Jerry, I don't want to be here.
That's right.
I've seen a lot of things in my life, but I ain't never going to see anything like this right here. They're right there right now, bound in the river Euphrates. And this sixth angel, which has the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. This is going to be something that the world, brother, they're not ready for. I don't think anybody could be ready for. I mean, one angel killed 160-some thousand souls, Syrians, back there in I believe it's 1 Kings there. One angel is all it took. And these four angels, verse 15, and the four angels which were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. Mm-hmm. Buddy, I'm glad I ain't going to be here.
Amen.
Now these people have been wanting death. They're going to get it now. They've been wanting to get out. Well, they're going to be given a chance to get out. It ain't really a good way to get out, because all they're going to do is go straight to hell and be there till the Lord great white throne judgment. They're going to be up for a little season and be cast in the lake of fire, and that's the end of the road, buddy. My pastor, he said, I like my devils well done. Well, they're going to be well done just like the devil. They're going to burn forever and ever and ever, and the worms going to die not. Like a worm in the ashes, they're going to writhe and gnaw their tongues for pain. They're going to suffer a bad choice because they would not give the Lord.
Right.
You know, ain't that something? God gives us life, and we're so selfish, we won't give our life to Him. But He could give us a more abundant life.
Right.
I lived that selfish life for 34 years.
Come on, brother.
I made my own decisions. Good or bad, I didn't care. As long as I made them. I mean, it didn't always turn out good, you know what I mean? I made a few that did, but most of them was bad.
Yeah.
But that's selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard this statement by a young child? It's my life, I'll do what I want.
Yeah.
No. Even though a lot of people say that, it's not. Job said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Now here's a man just buried 10 children. But he had enough wisdom to understand where he came from. Psalm 127 verse 3. Children are a heritage from the Lord. You don't get it at Walmart. They don't care. If you get a child, first thing Eve said, I got a man child from the Lord. She said it the way it needs to be said. God gives you children. He gives them to you to love so you can understand how much they break your heart, how much you're breaking His heart. Wouldn't it be great if we all just done what we're supposed to do?
Yeah.
See, that's what angels do.
Yeah.
They don't do anything wrong. They have no knowledge whatsoever of salvation because they don't do anything wrong.
Right.
We do wrong, and it don't take us long. The Bible says we come out of the womb speaking lies. I remember our kids, they'd scream bloody murder, and you go in there, and all they wanted was attention. And I want to be sympathetic here. They were lonely. It's nighttime. They couldn't sleep. I'm wore out. I'm in bed. And they come in there, they don't even want a bottle of milk. They just want to see my face.
Yeah.
And I wished I could have understood it back then.
Yeah.
I wished I could have knelt down there and said, is you missing me, honey? Here I am. He said, I want mama. Anyway, I had no knowledge whatsoever of why babies cry. They can't talk. They don't know how to express that they're hurting. They don't know how to express that they're fear, that fear, or they got, you know, maybe a tummy ache. All they know to do is cry. You got to figure it out.
Right.
Well, God knows what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible said He's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He's moved with compassion to help me, no matter how big the crisis is. He's right there.
Right.
And my best interest is to cry unto Him.
Mm-hmm.
That gave Himself for me, that loved me. And you know what? The world don't want nothing to do with Him, Brother Ed. They want to turn their back on Him. They don't want Him to have any part in their life. They want to live a life apart from Him. Unfortunately, the Bible tells us plainly, I believe it's Acts chapter 17. I think it might be about verse... No, that's God winked at Ignis. About verse 20-something, it says, in Him we live and move and have our being. You're not going to get too far without God.
Yeah.
But they want to. And God lets them go a little bit. But here, they went too far. Here, they're going to drink of the wrath of God. And one-third of the population is going to die because of these four angels that have been loosened from the river Euphrates and turned loose upon the earth. And for an hour, you know, when God took the firstborn from Egypt, they was willing to cooperate. They was willing to let the people go. They was willing to give them gold. They was willing to give them anything they wanted. Well, the same scenario here, they're going to be willing to do anything. But nothing they're going to do is going to change their circumstances. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. And them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. That's talking about these locusts. You got these locusts coming out their own horses. You got these angels, these four angels being loosed from a river Euphrates. And you got a bunch of people running, and it just ain't nowhere to run. And it says, verse 18, and by these three was a third part of the men killed by fire, by the smoke, by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths, for their powers in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. I don't want hurt. I want peace.
Amen.
I want mercy.
Right.
Thank God, God offers it. The rest of them, verse 20, which were not killed, one third of the population's gone. Forget it, ALC.
Mm-hmm.
New Green Deal ain't going to work. Rest of the men which were not killed, you know, it'd be different if this was fiction. If I'm just reading out of a fictional book, it'd be different. I mean, we'd entertain the thought, no consequences. Listen, this is coming.
Yeah.
When it says write the things which are, the things which were, and the things which are yet to be, these are things that are coming. They're not going away. It's not like you can make some kind of terms. Hey! We're willing to talk. We'll make some kind of treaty. There's not going to be no treaty. This is not going away. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils. Oh my, you mean they compromised worship? Paul talked about the church of Corinth. So many don't realize that they're worshiping devils. They worship devils today, right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, buddy, we've come down to this day already. That they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone of wood which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Why do they worship them, Brother Eddie? Because they can see them.
That's right.
You see, I worship a God I can't see. The reason I worship Him because He saved me.
Amen.
Because He loves me.
Yeah.
Because I tell you what, He blesses me and helps me. And you better believe I'm going to give Him praise.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Yes.
Man, I tell you right now, I think every day ought to be Thanksgiving to a child of God.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm not going to hell.
Amen.
Hey, I was sad for the time when hell hung over me. And I'm telling you, buddy, it was a threat to me, but no more. Hey, heaven awaits me. And not only am I looking forward to going to heaven, praise God, I've got the tickets done paid for by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And these people here, they're without hope, without help. They're without God. They didn't want nothing to do with God. Now He's showing them the problem, the price that they're going to have to pay for not allowing God to be their God. They're willing to throw anything towards these devils. Trying to make some kind of deal, these idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood which neither can see. My God can see.
Mm-hmm.
Nor hear. His ear is not deaf.
Mm-hmm.
Nor walk. Hey, He walks with me.
Mm-hmm.
He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake every day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to stray. I want to stay on course, Tammy.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But in the midst of all this death, all this trouble, all this confusion, all of this, this cannot be happening to me. In the midst of all of this, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. They're finally reaping what they've been sowing. All of this, you know, it didn't rain till God shut the door. For 120 years, a preacher righteous preached about judgment. He said, it's coming. They said, I know we heard that yesterday. Come on, Noah. Get with it, man. These are new times. That's old fuddy-duddy. That's old news, Noah. Well, let me tell you something. After 120 years of faithful preaching, a faithful building, the Bible said Noah moved with fear to the building of the ark, to the saving of his family. After 120 years of that, the world got what they deserved. Why'd Noah build that boat so big? He could have held more than eight, but only eight had enough sense to get in it.
Yeah.
Rest of them perished, Brother Ed.
Yeah, yeah.
They finally got what they deserved. I'm just glad I wasn't there during that time. And I'm glad, praise God, God got a better ark for me to get into.
Amen.
That one's supposed to be on top of Mount Eric, and I say it is there today. Even today I say it's there. The reason I say it's there is because God told Noah to pitch it inside and out. Pitch will preserve. Not only that, Mount Eric is frozen completely every year for only like 1 month. 1 month a year, Mount Eric defrosts. Just for 1 month. If you set your heart to climb Mount Ararat, by the time you got up, you better be ready to come back down because it's getting ready to freeze back over. I'm just telling you, buddy. God put the ark on Mount Ararat, and it has been seen from outer space. It's been seen by airplanes flying around. They still don't want nothing to do with it. Ain't it something? We're out of time. Ain't it something that we'll go to the moon? But we won't even search the ocean. We won't even search Mount Ararat for Noah's Ark. We won't even search the depths of the Red Sea. And by the way, somebody has. And they made a film about it. You know what's at the bottom of the Red Sea, Sybil? There's men's bones down there. There's swords down there. There's armor down there. There's chariot wheels down there. Film, you can see it. Go online. Google it. All over. Steel chariot wheels laying all over the bottom of the Red Sea. Had four spokes in them. Man's not interested in that. They're probably going to get interested when, like I said, when that hell on earth hits. They're going to wish they'd listened, going to wish they'd gave heed to the Word of God. I'm going to be gone. Won't be no Brother Eddie on the streets preaching. There are 144,000. They're going to do a good job. And some of them are going to get saved in the tribulation.
Yeah.
They are.
You know, they's interested in an ark. They didn't build one up north.
Yes, two of them.
Yeah,
two of them. It's big. I haven't seen it, but I've heard it'll take your breath. How big it truly really is.
Pocketbook too to try to get in there.
Hey, amen. Hey, amen. Noah built one because God told him to.